Blog Talk Radio.
This is an unlawful gathering. The truth is out there.
This is the underground. This is New Media. This is the underground. This is New Media.
Mainstream fans, remember what's the critical thinking hanger? Mainstream fans, remember what's the critical thinking hanger?
And now here is the starting lineup for the New York Rangers.
This is New York Rangers hockey.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Blue Shirt Underground Radio, Tuesday, March 20th. My name is Jim, and as always, my partner, my friend, Eddie.
How are you?
I am doing fantabulous. I am in a terrific, terrific mood after what we did to the New Jersey Devil Dogs last night. Semi-glad that in the previous game, against Colorado, where we didn't come up with a victory. Pleased with punch with the Rangers offense. So right now I'm doing excellent.
Glad to hear it. Big, scrappy, bloody, physical, emotional. Got the coaches fighting. Last night that had everything. Yeah, good idea, Jimmy. The BSU Radio to playoff clincher edition. Every other year we've been clinching. This year we've clinched.
Pucker up.
That's right. Yes. Bohica, baby, as my father used to say. Bend over, here it comes again.
Well, it was interesting that you say that. I know that Stoll and Girardi were like, this is the first time since they've been here that they've actually clinched a playoff spot relatively early in their careers with the Rangers. So it's a big thing. The game last night was probably, especially the first 10 minutes, 15 minutes or so, was about as exciting as it gets. It was more of a throwback to some of the classic wars that the Rangers and Islanders had with that kind of intensity. The crowd was it was on fire. I mean, it was on like Donkey Kong last night. And then we all know how it started. The boring there. He decides he's going to put out Ryan Carter, June Carter Cash, and
Famke Janssen.
Yeah, and Michael Bolton.
Michael Bolton,
right. And Torts gets wise to that. They got the first, you know, they put in their starting lineup. He takes Dubinsky off the, I guess it's center ice or whatever, and then inserts Stu Bickle, despite what Pierre McGuire says. Now, I will give credit to Ryan Carter. He did get a lot of punches on Bickle. Bickle was just one tough hombre, would not go down, and then Bickle landed one devastating punch that just exploded Carter's banana into a bloody mess. There was blood on the ice, three fights at once. You just don't see that anymore. And Then about, I guess, a minute, 2 minutes later, right, Jim Dubinsky, of all people, scores on Brodeur, and it was just mayhem at the Garden. It was mayhem at my house and probably mayhem at all the Rangers fans' household, the Underground's fans' household.
Mayhem. I think mayhem is an accurate word. The atmosphere of that place last night was like a game seven. I mean, that place was just going nuts. And, of course, you know, with the, like you said, the way it started off and everybody's going crazy and Stu Bickel winning his first faceoff and then dropping the gloves and beat that guy Carter right above the right about the snot nozzle, rearranged his face for him.
Oh,
blood all over the ice,
blood on the
dance floor.
Yeah, there was blood. You know what, Jim? I haven't seen that much blood on the Garden ice since Ed Hospodar got his jaw dismantled by Clark Gillies. I mean, that was a type of blood. I mean, look, they were serving cherry ices on the Garden. It was just, and then the Rangers took advantage of it. You know, I have been critical of the Rangers, you know, fighting with the Devils and getting off their game, but this, however, worked perfectly because they just don't like each other. And I think one of the Devils' problems is they also get caught up in the fisticuffs and forget themselves when it comes to the game against the Rangers. And they had been lucky and won a couple games. We all remember that one game where I think it was Clarkson got that puck deflected right out in front and put it home. But last night it was a good game, and the Devils kept coming back though, you know, and we get the 2-goal lead, and then they would come back. It was a gut wrenching game, and I don't know. It's a tremendous victory. I really a tremendous victory, and I'm going to say that there's a lot of different players I think that contributed for the Rangers. So interesting to get. Did you have any interesting takes from the game?
Why don't we start at the beginning? Tortorella, they knew the lineup before they went out on the ice. Apparently, when Tortorella heard about it, obviously he wasn't happy about what the Devils were going to do. And according to the Rangers, he spoke to the team in the locker room. And, you know, of course, they wouldn't divulge what was said. But I think Mike Rupp basically said, let's just say he got his message across and we were ready to go. And he had them all fired up. And, you know, the puck dropped and six sets of gloves hit the ice, a couple of helmets hit the ice, and off they went. Now, let me ask you, I have seen some people, a few Ranger fans and a few members of the hockey media that said that with DeBoer putting that line out there, that Torts just played into their hands by putting his line out there and not putting the first line out there to try and take advantage of it and score a goal.
I don't know. No, that's it's either the situation where later in the game or, you know. But the opening face-off, you put your guy out there in the opposing team's building, you put that lineup out in a heated rivalry, you're saying, listen, we're going to start something here. And for once, a Ranger coach, rather than play it, just put a Gaborik out there and the Gaborik line out there to get pummeled, one up the opposing coach by putting Bickel at center, and then they beat the shit out of him. I mean, that's just basically what it is, folks. You know, I hate to throw around the expletive so early in the show, but that's what happened. And it set the tone. And you saw. And they were going at it all game. I thought Rupp had the best line of the night when he told Clarkson. He's like, you know, you better shut your mouth or I'll knock you out. I'll knock you out on national TV. I mean, these teams don't like each other. The Rangers, for a chance, weren't the victims. They were the victors. And that is something to be proud of. I mean... I'm not saying fighting is the whole game. As a matter of fact, I think sometimes it's a distraction with this team. But it's your building, man. You cannot, you know, pull that. He's trying to pull nonsense in front of the Ranger crowd. And why are you going to match up lines on the first line? Get out of here. No, I don't agree with that summation at all.
Now, Ranger fans that are saying that are the same ones that if Tortorella did that, now let's say he puts out the, say he puts Richards, Gavrik, and Hagelin out there, right? And
mm-hmm.
let's say first shift down the ice, Hagelin gets checked into the boards by Clarkson or Bolton or whatever, and he hurts his shoulder. Same fans would be screaming, the fuck is he doing not putting the goons out there? You got to get the Rupp line out there. So I just think it's another case of Ranger, some Ranger fans just never being happy and wanting to complain in the
not
NHL.
Happy with the result.
Exactly.
I mean,
and
they scored a couple minutes later. I mean, I'm
58
sorry,
seconds into the game. Well, that was the rest of my point. You put the first line out. People say you put the first line out there against those guys to take advantage. Well, they didn't really have to do that because then the second line came on and they took advantage. Dubinsky. A beautiful goal, too, by the way.
They gave him enough short side. I mean, forget about it. But it was a nice shot. He deposited it. That's all that counts.
That's right.
You know, I was thinking about this last night when I was watching the game, and I was thinking about when, like, the Rangers became, like, really start to rally as a team physically. And I think it was, like, I guess last year and the year before, they were terrible in protecting Henrik Lundqvist. Anybody could run him over. They never protected him. Now, people get hit. I mean, they get, you know, no one did a lot to even go near him.
No.
And I think that was the transformation early this year and the year before with Michael Sauer. Now you're seeing it with Stu Bickel. Stu Bickel is taking no guff whatsoever. And it's important to have that cohesiveness. You saw last night, Ryan Callahan. If I was a Devil fan, this guy would be driving me bananas. He's running into Brodeur. He's screening Brodeur. He's not a big dude. But they could not solve him in front of the net. And Brodeur, of course, was complaining. And some of the calls that he got away with last night, Brodeur, were absolutely ridiculous. The one play where, for some reason, the play was called dead because he said the puck, the net was off at stanchions or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I forgot about that.
What is that all about?
Yeah, the play was nowhere near the net. And all of a sudden, Fatty's not, the net's off? What'd you do, fall? What'd you do, lean into it?
I mean, it was a joke. And then he was complaining to the refs, oh, this is going to cause a goal, all these Rangers in front of me, skating through the crease, wah, wah, wah. You know, he's so hard. I mean, I understand the stats of this guy, and I know he's going to go down as one of the all-time greatest.
There he is. Anyway,
but he is a whining stack. Hang it up. He's flopping all around, doing the flopsy mopsy. He's just technically nowadays, he's just so bad. So, and the Rangers again, I mean, you know, it seems to me the majority of the game is played in the Rangers' end. Does that seem like to you? I mean, it seems to me the other team has the puck in the Rangers' zone way more than we actually have it in their zone. But we always survive, and even last night, let's talk turkey. Let's talk plainly here. Henrik Lundqvist was not fantastic last night. He was good, but, you know, they even mentioned it in that broadcast. And I know you guys hate the broadcast, but I actually enjoy those two guys over our own guys. At least I'm getting something. I'm getting some kind of information. Whether, you know. So anyway, you know, the goal where he's trying to pick up a stick, short side, and then the second goal, which was, it was not a good goal. I mean, you know, it was just not a good goal. But the Rangers will spend a lot of time in their own zone. But then bottom line is the other team winds up with 16 shots. I don't
right.
get it.
Right.
They always hold the team down to a not very many shots. So I guess it's more about quantity. I mean, you know, they don't give up many quality chances, and they don't give up a lot of chances, not all quantity. So it was a great game last night. The first period was excellent. You're just not going to get a bet. In regulation, that may have been the best first. It may have been the best game of the season for the Rangers in regulation. Just on the emotion. That was the most excited Madison Square Garden's been in years.
Years, yeah, years. In terms of a full game of, you know, where they were loud all night long and you could hear the buzz in the building. You know, it wasn't the... You couldn't even hear the stupid Pot Van Sucks chant last night. You could barely hear it last night. I liked hearing Devils Suck at the end of the game. That was good to hear.
Yes, and I think the asshole chant went up a couple of times.
Yeah, and
the referee.
And the Marty chant. You know, they got to, and I said last night on Twitter, they got to stop that Marty chant because it doesn't faze him because he only speaks humpback.
How's he sound again? How's that go again? He's talking to Hedberg.
He's complaining to Chico right here.
Well, Marty, the pup. Marty looks at the bad light.
I feel like I just dropped into the middle of Star Trek 4.
Yeah, really.
Well, Marty got beat by a good goal scorer, Dubinsky, who has 8 goals now.
Yeah, it was a tremendous victory. And I thought the Rangers looked good against the Avalanche, Jim. I mean, they dominated, but that Semyon Varlamov played his proverbial tuchus off.
Yeah, he could have a 30-year career and he'll never play a game like that again.
he's played pretty well against the Rangers. I don't know how much that means. I mean, we all remember that playoff series 2 years ago where he, in his rookie season, where he came out. But, yeah, I know what you're saying. A couple of interesting notes in that game. I on the Avalanche side, I couldn't believe that Matthew Shane now is a third-line player for them. This is a guy that was that the draft you covered that he was?
Yeah, that was the first draft. He was, what, the third pick?
Yeah.
Tavares, Hedman, and Matt Duchene, I think he was the third pick.
Yeah. Yeah. I was third line. I was like, holy manolis. So, yeah, that was a game where the Rangers dominated. I mean, and hey, how about this Matt Zuccarello, huh?
Yeah. Back-to-back games, although I still don't think, like I said to you last night on the phone, I don't think that goal against Colorado was his goal. I thought it was Girardi's. Was it Girardi? Now I can't remember. Who shot the puck? Girardi. Which would have given Girardi goals in back-to-back games. Because Girardi scored last night, you weren't even in the building.
Yes, that's true. I know. I was supposed to go, actually. Captain NYR invited me, and I was going to go, and then I had some other things to do. If I would have been there, I would have been like, that would have been game. That would have been a great game. I mean, obviously, I missed a great game, but it still was fantastic. And Zuccarello, I think, I'm starting to think about maybe signing him for next year. Because on a regular shift, he's very involved. For a little guy, he throws the body, he's got the jam. And on the power play, he's just the power play looks like a different animal now with him on it. So, you know, I think there's a spot for him. The problem is with the Rangers is they have a lot of young guys in the minors and in, you know, prospects and such that are very small, and I really think there's only room for one small guy, and especially the way Tortorella plays. So Zuccarello has been, you know, has just played very well, you know. And I mentioned it last week. He could be that Ville Leino type that Philly had a couple years ago that just ignites a team and does well in the playoffs and just a guy who sets up a lot of guys, you know. So I was very happy with his play.
Yeah. I forgot what I was going to say. They were very good on faceoffs last night, by the way. Very good. Everybody. Not just Stink Pickle going for 100%. Everybody was good on face. I think Boyle was 70-something percent on faceoffs last night.
Clarkson could not beat him for nothing. You saw it the last couple minutes. Boyle would win the faceoff, the Rangers would ice it. You know, I mean, and then he did it like three times in the final minute.
Right, you know? Right.
It was a gutsy win.
I got a question. Do you remember last night on the broadcast when that whole thing went down in the first minute of the game? Do you remember Pierre saying anything about it? Of course, I'm referring to creepy Pierre Maguire.
About what?
About any of it. Do you remember him making any kind of commentary or editorial on it?
He said, well, when it was going on, he said that Pickle was getting beaten up. And then afterwards he said, well, now when they put Gabbert out there, the Richards line, and Hannah goes, well, now we got some ballet after all the dancing or something like that. That's all I remember.
Well, because he went on the radio in Ottawa this morning, and he had plenty to say about it.
Oh, what did he say?
Yeah, he said, now I'm reading this from Sports Illustrated. SI.com. Let me just make sure I got the whole quote here. You can't defend it. You can be the biggest fight fan in the world, but you can't defend that, Pierre Maguire said Tuesday morning on Ottawa's Three Guys on the Radio program over at Team 1200. Oh, I guess I could have. Oh, look, there's a link. I could have pulled the audio. Maguire had the best seat in the garden while working between the benches for NBC Sports Network. When you move a defenseman to center for the opening draw, that's not in the heat of passion. That's a staged fight. You're manufacturing that energy. Which I say, you know what? I say bullshit. That there was plenty of energy in that building, and I don't think the fight had that much to do with it. That was a 3-minute thing, the fight, and it was over. But that energy carried the whole game. And why doesn't he have the guts to say that on the air by the network that he's getting paid by? He's not getting paid by these guys to go on the radio and say this. He's getting paid by NBC Sports. Say it on there if you got that opinion. Don't go hide not over where nobody's listening.
He's probably afraid. First of all, Mike Rupp would have probably gone over and punched him in the face. He's probably afraid about the repercussions from Bettman and the NHL. They have to put on that best face when it comes to as far as that being a staged fight, these teams hate each other. They said it in the opening. He even said it. To go on a show and then say denounce what happened and to say that, you know, it is irrelevant and not, was it necessary? To me, it's just being a hypocrite and, you know, probably, you know, to me, it set the tone. You have to understand, you know, the New York Ranger fan has been probably, we've been the victims, again, I've said this before, of a lot of craziness where we took the higher ground and got our ass beat for it. So to me, you can call this a staged fight, I guess it was, but it set the tone. Now I don't know. I mean, DeBoer puts his guy out there, his guy's out there, and one guy leaves the guy's blood in a bloody mess. and has to go off the ice for repair. So whatever message he was trying to send was a complete failure. The Rangers one-up them on that. They got the crowd so jazzed. I mean, folks, I got phone calls during that fight from Ranger fans just going, holy crap. People are going, whoa, whoa, just leaving like crazy messages. I mean, McGuire is you know, I was just about to get on the air today and say, you know what, tonight, and say, you know, I think we give him a raw deal. But now that he's turned his true colors, he's shown his true colors, and he's a total hypocrite. He is creepy. He is stupid. And who cares what that idiot says? Two guys hockey. Come on. Like, that show is you know, has more listenership than ours or whatever that show he was on.
I was just going to say they probably have less listeners than we do.
Ottawa. What do they know about hockey up there?
Nothing.
Nothing.
So, I mean, if that's his opinion, I don't have a problem with it. When he's in America doing a game, he's got a right to his opinion, whether it stinks or not. But at least say it during the game. It's what you get paid for. It's what you're down there for.
Say it's just unnecessary. I don't understand why John Tortorella is doing this.
Right. And have to,
you know?
Go ask Tortorella. That's what you're there for. You interview the coaches in between. I mean, you get absolutely nothing out of Tortorella. You might as well interview a light switch. For all you can get out of it. I mean, he says nothing to nobody ever. Except, I'm not going to talk about it.
Sam, I've already covered that.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean,
spank Sam around.
I mean, it's really absolutely amazing that we got any quotes at all out of 24/7.
Keep your fucking discipline here now. With Kessel. And if you have a chance, finish him. He's a good player. But don't shit your pants on him.
I mean, it's like, I mean, I think we have all the, we have four clips from 24/7 of him talking, and I think that was all he said the whole time.
Well, he was peeved at the boards.
Yeah.
Called,
I mean,
him he a, was saying, you asshole.
You were, yeah, he called him a fucking asshole if you were reading those clips.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, and you had mentioned it before, I don't know, before he went on the air. This team will, I mean, they'll, you know, they'll go to battle for him.
Yeah.
The teams and him are one. They got the Vulcan mind meld going over there. I mean,
you know, they're like Full Metal Jacket, and he's F Lee Ernie, whatever his name was in Full Metal Jacket. What's your name, scumbag? Sir, come ahead, sir. I like you, Callahan. I might let you come over to my house and fuck my sister.
So, but what a game. And and Patrick Elias is completely annoying. He scores every game against us. Oh, I want to kill him. And Carl Hagelin continues to, I mean, this kid is unbelievable. I mean, he is just shining. They kind of put on the game, McGuire even, oh, was it McGuire? No, it was Emmerich kind of put it like in a weird way how Hagelin had succeeded. Like, well, he started off in the fourth line and, you know, somehow has ended up on the first line. And not to say anything negative of why he was on the fourth line to begin the season. And I don't know, the broadcast wasn't much last night. Because, you know, Emmerich's got that devil's slant, so, you know, that's...
Oh, yeah.
You know, he's going to... You know, I had enough of the Bryce Salvador promotion last night, too. Former St. Louis Blue. And a shot!
Is that my cue? I wasn't ready.
So it'll be interesting. I heard... With a shot! With a shot! Is it true that Andrew Yogan is now going to be a member of the Connecticut Whale?
Andrew, did you see what I posted on Facebook? He was the OHL Player of the Week. And in a related story, a Fort Myers man was spotted on a Honda Ruckus doing donuts naked in a Hess parking lot.
Andrew Jogan was named OHL Player of the Week and is expected to sign an ATO in the coming days, as is Sereznak. Peter Sereznak? Peter Cetera? They will both be signing ATOs to play with the Whale in amateur tryouts, supposedly within the coming days. And
very good.
And who knows when, I guess, I think BC is playing Air Force this weekend or something, coming up in the next couple of days. And if Air Force wins, BC's done. And if BC's done, Kreider can come play for the big boys, I think, if I had that right. I was kind of skimming the news today. So
people keep telling me, what's the deal? I mean, I know he's got enough credits to graduate.
What's the deal with Chris Kreider? I don't understand. That's what you sounded like. What is the deal with Chris Kreider?
I mean, what's the deal with Gogurt?
What is the deal with the Honda Ruckus? I don't understand it.
Now, I know with Kreider, I know he's got enough credits, right, to graduate. So it's not a matter of his, you know, spending another year. He's only a junior, right? So, but then I hear, no, he can't. He's going to have. He doesn't want to. He wants to go 4 years. What does he want? Get a double degree? I mean, guy's got to turn pro. He's got nothing else to prove there. There's nothing else for him. He's wasting his life away in college.
Can't learn anything in college.
We need him with the Rangers. Damn it!
There is no better education than living in New York City.
That's right. He don't need any more of that fancy school book learning. He needs to get with the program.
Get to Torts University.
All right. So, Rangers clinched the playoffs. I can't believe it. This early, you know how we've been dying the last couple of years. Shootouts, team backing in almost. The other teams lose. Waiting for the other teams to shit the bed. We shit the bed. It's just a lot of shit.
All we
got to
do is beat the Thrashers at home. The Thrashers are playing half their AHL team. All we got to do is beat them. We lose.
Yeah. I'm at that.
Are you there, Ed? Uh-oh. There you are. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
I lost you. You cut out in the middle of whatever you were saying.
Oh, okay. Kind of tossing back. Anyway, no, so that's a big victory. I mean, was everybody excited? I don't see too many people like, oh, yeah, Ranger in the chat room. Everybody's talking about some nonsense.
They're talking
about Scott Gomez?
Talking about Chris Kreider.
Oh, okay.
I got something quick here to read you from Elliot Friedman's column on CBC. I thought this was kind of interesting because we were talking about this. It's related to Tim Thomas, but he says something interesting about Henrik here. Much disagreement with last week's notes that Tim Thomas can handle the increased workload because he's used to it in March and April. Asked a couple of goalies about it, and they pointed out how you have to take his style into account. Thomas is so active, expending so much energy, that 63 games for him is like 70 or 75 for others. Alex Auld didn't specifically talk about Thomas, but used Henrik Lundqvist as a comparison. Lundqvist is also on pace for 63 appearances, but must be measured differently. Henrik is so efficient, Auld said, because he plays so deep he doesn't need to move much. He's able to take in more mentally, and there's less confusion going on in his head. He's focused, able to read the play. It's very hard to teach that. As a result, Lundqvist doesn't drain himself mentally either. That was an interesting take. Yeah.
That is very – he's big, he's bald, he's Alex Auld. He's right on the money as far as I'm concerned. Because Thomas is an old-school goaltender. He's similar to Brodeur, where he's going to stack the pads. He's going to be moving around. Apparently, the lights at every building now are very dim for Tim Thomas. and on a personal note, he single-handedly cost me the semifinals of my fantasy league. as well as that stupid-ass Scott Hartnell getting that game-winning goal in the last seconds of that Philly game. And, oh, my God, did Emmerich play up that goal? I thought it was the Bobby Orr goal against St. Louis in overtime. The way he was talking about that magnificent Scott Hartnell in the waning seconds to beat the Penguins. And they're on the Rangers' tail. The Flyers stink. They're terrible. You think Brizgalov, he's hot right now, but
yeah,
a couple bad games and he'd be derailed on the way. And he's hexed all reincarnated as far as I'm concerned. that's my take on there, Sammy.
Okay. Are you ready to go to the phones?
Sure.
I'll tell you what. Everybody on hold's been holding about the same amount of time, so I'll let you pick the area code. And that's where we'll
go. Let's go to the 630.
All right. 630-618. You're on Blue Shirt Underground. Who's this?
Hey, guys. It's Adam. How are we doing tonight?
Adam, how are you?
Hey, Adam. How are you?
Yeah. I'm doing about 10% better than perfect after last night.
That's right, baby.
Excellent.
Big victory. Big victory.
Yeah, I seriously think that we're all going through this ridiculous level of, like, manic depression because, I'll admit, after the Colorado game, with these games coming up this week, I was ready to go off. I was ready to go off with a sawed-off shotgun on my computer after reading everything I was reading on Facebook. I know it's hard to imagine people overreacting on Facebook, but...
I haven't been on the Facebook. Was it our page or just everywhere? What kind of things are going around?
It's always on our page. It seems like there's more and more pages popping up every week for the Rangers, so it's everywhere now.
Yeah, well, that's only a fad. Copycats are everywhere. Everybody's a chameleon, changing their colors, trying to be like us here at the Blue Shirt Underground Radio. The only cheap imitation, as you know, Adam, and you, as you know on our page, most people are sane.
Of course. Oh, that's why we're Rangers fans. We qualify. Insanity
over
is
insane, but realistic.
Exactly.
So what were they saying on these? I love to hear these morons espouse their ridiculous theories.
I mean, most of it was just like, you know, this team that can't win one round. I mean, you know, they can't win a round. They still need power play. Get Kreider in here. We need Kreider. Thankfully, I didn't see anybody. Yeah.
Adam, may I cut you off for a second? What do they want? The Rangers had 42 shots their season high against the Avalanche. What more do you want? All you hear is the Rangers don't have enough scores. That's not enough. What do we got? 52, 62, 72 shots? The guy played a good game.
82-0. That's what we want.
I mean, I still don't understand the Rangers fans. We're in the sense of entitlement to win every game. It's just a joke. We don't have a winning history, folks.
Team sucks. I told you so. All year I've been telling you. You fans, you drink the Kool-Aid. You don't know what you're talking about. Only I know hockey. That's why they call me Scotty Hockey.
Well, Scott, let me tell you something. I'm going to on the record. I don't know this guy. You guys are more familiar with him. I don't read his stuff. He's a douchebag. Any guy that he's just trolling for responses. It sounds like he wants to be one of these guys that just is going to be a negative Nelly to the end. So he could say, I told you so, when the Rangers, if they fail. I mean, not everybody wins the Stanley Cup. I mean, if the Rangers go two rounds, this guy's got nothing to say as far as I'm concerned. Take it to the semifinals. You know, it's stupid. The guy is a moron.
You know what I found out last night? There's a Twitter account. It's called @Shoddy, Shoddy Hockey, that completely mocks him, right down to his logo, his profile on Twitter, and the tweets are awesome. I sent it to 8K Power and Dave Shapiro last night, and they couldn't believe it. I mean, it's great. I love it. The guy's my hero. I told him he has an open invitation to come on this show anytime he wants.
Well, what's his beef? I don't get it.
He's just one of those Ranger fans, Scotty. That's what he is.
He's one of those negative guys that just wants to be the one to say, I told you so, when they lose. Even if it's game seven in the finals, he'll be the one to say, I told you they weren't that good.
It's kind of I hate to call somebody out. Yeah, I hate to call somebody out, but it's kind of like Ricky O saying nothing for 2 months, and then Henrik lets in those two goals, and all of a sudden, oh, here he comes, and he comes out ripping Henrik. That was going on last night, and that's what really bothered me.
Yeah. All right. Oh, his glove hand. I told you, his glove hand.
Glove hand, high spot. Yep, same as always.
See, you know, see, I love Ricky. I think Ricky's a good guy, but he's another one of these guys. He'll tell you, oh, Mark Stahl's got a vertebrae problem. He's out for the season. Yeah, well, last 30 games, he looks fine to me. So I think a lot of times he'll do it to stir things up, and I think that's what this Scotty Hockey does. He's looking to troll for responses. So we got to maintain our focus here and our discipline. I mean, we need to do that. And just keep our eye on the prize. We know what's going on. I know. But the Rangers are going to lose. Sometimes they
keep your fucking discipline here now.
Sorry. Didn't play when you paused like it was supposed to. Thanks, Blog Talk.
At least the show didn't drop. So anyway, getting back. So, Adam, I mean, it was a big victory. I mean, do you see the Rangers coming out of this funk that we were talking about a couple weeks ago?
Well, every team's going to go through a funk every season. I mean, you know, they went forever without letting up five goals. They went forever without losing three straight games. And, you know, I was actually at that game in Chicago, which was just horrific to be at. And, you know, the trainer was there and everything like that. But, if that's the whole point of the regular season, I mean, you know, I think we'll all sign up for that. I mean, because even in the last couple of years when they made the playoffs, they always had a big lull that lasted, you know, 2 weeks or something like that. And we haven't really seen it that much this season, so I'm feeling pretty encouraged about it. I'm feeling pretty good right now.
And, I think we easily, you know, discount the fact that they didn't have Ryan Callahan for much of that slump, and when they did, he didn't seem healthy. Last night looked like the first game he was 100% back. And you saw what it made, what a difference it makes in the team. Having Michael Delzato in the lineup also certainly helps. But I want to give a big shout out, if I can, to Tim Erickson. I thought Tim Erickson played a very good game last night. He's one of those guys that's just very steady. I like the way he just shoots the puck. He tries to get it on net. I thought he played a pretty good game last night.
And not only that, he forced one or two doubles to go offsides, and the way he was poke checking them, that really impressed me.
Yeah, and you know, again, he's a young guy, and now I don't know, have they said why? Is it just a change of pace of why Strowman has been a healthy scratch the last couple games?
I haven't heard anything. I just think, you know, again, he was struggling and. He's trying some different things. I think Erickson's looked fine. I didn't hear his name once last night, which is probably a good thing, right?
Yeah, I mean defensively, yeah, for sure. And Kovalchuk, it was annoying me in the first period when they were leaving him alone, especially on the power play, on the penalty. You cannot let that guy take slap shots. One-timers. He's just got a terrific shot, but he's one of those players that he's either really, at least against the Rangers, he's either really involved or he's invisible. And after that first period, I really didn't notice him that much. And when that happens, what did you guys think, I mean, about the Prust play where Adam Henrique pushed Prust into the boards. Do you guys think that was a penalty or not?
I thought it was close.
I would say borderline.
Yeah.
If it had gone the other way around, you know, we probably would have been screaming like crazy about it. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think it was basically a toss-up call either way.
That's what I think. I thought it was – he hit him, you know, fought. you know, kind of away from the boards because I was thinking maybe the boarding call, but it wasn't really like a full-fledged hit. It was more of like a – I mean, he just – he went into that board real hard, and, I mean, his face was just crumpled, and he really – Prost is a tough guy, and he really took him a long time to shake that off.
Yeah, the way he almost collapsed on the bench, I was thinking, oh, here comes John Scott back.
Oh, God. Now, I you know what? I know we have said this before, but I think at this point we have seen the last of John Scott.
The John Scott experiment is officially over, Jim? Is that what you're saying?
Well, think about it. He skated in the warm-ups last night and then was a scratch. So he was dressed. And even after Tortorella saw what the Devils were doing to open the game, he still didn't play John Scott. I think that ought to tell you something.
Agreed.
So. Joe Catrone. Who's John Scott? The dead lead singer of AC/DC.
Yep. the only one who's harder to find right now, sadly, is Michael Sauer.
Well, at least he's got an excuse. But
I don't think he even knows where he is.
Man,
too soon.
I really think his career is in jeopardy. I mean, you don't hear anything.
I'm trying to think, but nothing happens.
Oh, come on!
Wow,
is that just his? I hope that's just his career.
No, I don't know.
Adam, we got to run.
Okay, I just want to say one thing real quick. I'm actually going to be in New York this Friday. I will be at MSG for Rangers Sabres. I'm going to be in section 426, and I am absolutely ready to go, and I'm ready to scream. I am ready for this game.
All right. I like that, man.
All right.
I will be there, so if anybody wants to come around, feel free to say hello.
All right. Make sure you put some pictures up on the Facebook group.
All right. Most definitely.
Thanks, Adam. Take care,
Adam.
All right. Thanks. Just leave me on hold, okay?
All right. Will do.
All right.
All right. Stick with the phones, or do you have something else?
Yeah, no, I'll go with the phones, baby.
Okay. Well, sometimes you like to interject in between phone calls, so I just.
Nothing to interject as of now, Captain.
All right, Frankie, how are you?
I'm doing peachy keen.
Glad to hear it. So, how'd you like that game last night? How'd you like the fighting?
Oh, I thought that. That play by Henrique on Prust was just plain interference. Prust didn't touch the puck, and he just, like, hoisted him, you know, off his skates. That's called interference. It's not boarding. It's just interference. He didn't touch the puck. And, you know, I like the idea that Del Zotto's starting to get some credit for what he's doing, but... You know, playing left side, right side, playing with Stahl, playing with McDonough, playing with Bickle. But the guy that really seems to struggle is, forget about Stroman. Stroman don't make as many mistakes as Stahl. Didn't Stahl get stuck behind the net again? I mean, I just sent you a post a couple of days ago about Stahl making a bonehead play behind the net and losing the puck that ended up in a goal. The same thing last night. Goes behind the net, loses the puck, and I think Sikora stole. And Elias got it in the net. I mean, those are like rookie mistakes. And if Stroh ever made a stupid mistake like that, Tortorella would kill him. You know, it's just. And then the other thing I thought I posted you that Callahan got an assist on the first goal, and it was not a power play. How come he doesn't get a plus?
There's no plus minus on the power play. I learned that myself.
No, it wasn't a power play goal.
It wasn't a power play. I thought you said it was. I'm sorry.
No, it wasn't. The first goal was not a power play goal. It was even strength.
I hear music.
Tortorella got the plus on the play. How's that possible? I mean, how could a guy get an assist, you know, Callahan, and not get a plus?
I don't know. That's interesting.
That doesn't make sense, you know. Does not make sense.
I want to know, Frankie, I mean, Mark Stahl, I think you're right. I think to a certain extent. I think Stahl has not hit his stride yet.
He's not going to.
Oh, wait a minute. Are you looking into that crystal ball? I mean, do we know that for sure?
I don't see him as a top four defenseman on the Rangers anymore. I think that he's like trade bait in the offseason with Gavinsky. They make too much and produce too little, you know. Stroman has totally outplayed Staal all year long. He's more physical and he's half his size. He's a better scorer. He's quicker on his feet. And when I talk about quickness, Stroman is a quick defenseman. Delzato is a quick defenseman. They're not fighters, but they do throw body checks. And guess what? You know, when I talk to you about speed kills, look at this guy Hagelin. I mean, you can't catch that guy. I mean, he's like all over the place, a little water bug, you know. And he scores a lot of goals from 3 feet away from the net. And he doesn't have terrible size. He's 5'11", like 180. That's not bad.
Okay. I disagree with you there, but we'll respectfully agree to disagree.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Stroman is a good player. I think Stroman's shown he certainly can be plugged in and play well. He's been a pleasant surprise, but Mark Staal's been a, you know, he was an all-star last year and has been a good defenseman all his career. I can't see him losing.
You know, we went through this last year that it took, because Staal was struggling in the beginning of the season, they took Girardi away from Delzato and they gave Girardi to Staal. And all of a sudden, guess what? Staal starts doing better.
Right.
So I think he's a function of who he plays with. And Delzato has played with everybody and has still succeeded. You know, McDonough has not played with a lot of people, but he's had a very good year. But any statistics that you come up with, Stroman just beats out Staal. I just think they're playing Staal because they don't want his trade value to deteriorate in the offseason if they decide to make a move for Weber. You know, maybe they'll move Staal, Dubinsky. Christian is now been bypassed by Yogan and by St. Croix as a prospect, so maybe Christian will be thrown in the deal too.
Okay, well, that's an interesting take on it. And, what do you think? Why do you think Tortorella is benching Stroman if he's in this case then? Bad move or something strategy-wise?
If you don't give the minutes to Staal, that means that you're relegating him to the third pair and you're acknowledging that he's not produced. If they try to put him on the second pair and plug him in there, or whoever else they match him up with, then, you know, even Bickle's got like 8 points. I think even Bickle's producing more offensively than Staal and more physical.
He's winning faceoffs.
Yet I could see Bickle making some progress out there on the ice. He's still not as good as Staal. He's a little tougher, but Stroman is just a complete defenseman. It's just hard to believe. I read Hockey's Future on him. It's still on Google. You do Hockey's Future. Stroman played a couple of years in the Swedish just like Tim Eriksson, and he was considered a very good prospect. And he's played a couple of years in the league. He's produced, and he's doing well this year. I think this is his coming out year. And I just think, you know, that Staal, he's got to play. Otherwise, you're going to have two guys that you can't move, Dubinsky and Staal. So, you know, just say to everybody, oh, he's doing great. You know, he's not making rookie mistakes too much, except every game almost. I hate to see Staal go behind the net. You know, every time he goes behind the net, it's like Tommy Agee in center field. It's an adventure, you know. You remember the old story with Tommy Agee, right? They hit a ball to dead center field. He would run one way 30 feet and run the other way 30 feet. Then he'd go back to his place. He'd start up and make a diving backhanded catch, you know. But all he had to do was put an anchor to his leg and let him stay where he was. He would have caught the ball anyways.
Well, but, Frankie, to say that Anton Stroman is a complete defenseman at this point, I think, is a little bit of an overstatement. But listen,
well, what numbers
maybe
are you looking at? What numbers are you looking at?
I'm not looking at numbers. I watch every game intensely. I focus in on every player. And I'm not saying, I'm not disagreeing with you about Stahl not being up to par. I think you're right on that. But I think the fans in the chat room here are saying that maybe I just have a little bit of a man crush on Strowman right now.
No, I just think that hockey is more than fighting and physicality. The kid is quick. He can get the outlet pass pretty good. He can use the body, even though he's only 185 pounds. He can score points, and he's defensively responsible. I mean, I think that Stahl has either regressed, or we've seen that maybe mobile defensemen that use the body are a big advantage over him. I'm not a big Delzato fan, although I've come to love him this year. I was a John Carlson fan. I wanted the Rangers to draft him in the first round in his coming out year. But, Washington got him, so.
All right. He's the one who scored the goal for USA in the World Juniors.
I don't know why Sather passed over him. We were obviously reading different books. But, he's got a problem in the future because on left defense, you got Stahl. You got McDonough, you got Erickson, Stahl, McDonough, Erickson, who's the fourth one out there? And Delzato. You can't have four left defensemen. Somebody's got to play the right side. Right?
I agree.
Okay, you can't. What are you going to do, put Delzato as a right defenseman from now on? That's not his. I mean, he's being a team player like Anisimov. Anisimov wouldn't get killed out there. If he was playing center ice, they got him out there in the corners, digging the pucks out of the corners. And he's a finesse player. He's not a Prust or a Callahan. And, he does what he has to do to be a team player. And sometimes he's going to get banged up. I like what I'm hearing now about St. Croix, that he's moving up in the organization. Apparently he's very fast also. That's all we need is a 100-something-point scorer, I couldn't believe that end-to-end skate that Andrew Yogan did around Christmas time. I've never seen a guy go behind the net, his own net, and then skate all the way through an entire team, and he's a power forward, believe it or not.
How do you like the news that he's going to get an amateur tryout with the Whale, Yogan?
Well, he was born, I think, in December 91. He's young, he's got some filling out to do. But I don't even though he's a power forward type, I don't see him as being a fighter or anything like that. He's not a fighter. He's just a big kid that can skate and can shoot. And if I have a choice between a 5'9", 170-pound Christian Thomas that can shoot and score, and a 6'3", 210-pound Andrew Yogan, I'll take Andrew Yogan because the kid can skate. A lot of people can't skate that are big, and this kid can work his way up the ice and move the puck. And I really do feel, I know you guys don't buy into it, I think Kreider wants to play for Boston, and he's going to do a Blake Wheeler deal.
He wants to be with the Rangers, Frankie.
Okay, I hope so, but, I mean, this... It always seems to be problems as to why he doesn't come out to play for the Rangers.
He's just got to finish school. He'll be 2 weeks. He'll be all done, and he'll be with the team.
Well,
you watch. Two
I would
weeks.
Love to see the Rangers sign him to a contract.
I'm gonna bet you a cup of coffee at that Hess station.
No. I want Kreider to play for the Rangers. I really
do.
I know. I like the idea. He's like 6'2", 210 pounds, something like that. Although some websites are saying he's like 6'4", 230. I don't know. This guy's supposedly growing every week. He's got good size. He's got good speed. I would love to see him play for the Rangers, but I don't know. There always seems to be things happening that prevents him from doing it, and I wonder if his heart's in it. My daughter lives out in the Boston area, and she loves it out there. I mean, Boston is cold. I mean, I'm down here in Fort Myers loving it at spring break, but, I just don't understand the big thing with Boston. But I guess if you're from Boston, you love it. So, and my daughter's committed to Boston now, traitor.
All right, Frankie, listen, we got to go, buddy.
Take care.
All right, listen,
take
you take care.
My
we'll
friend.
Talk to you soon.
Good night, gentlemen.
Good night.
Good night. You know what, Jim? It's funny, but it just... He's just with the overstating.
It's not even that, but it's like we're trying to get him to talk about the game last night. Andrew Yogan,
Yogan and Stroman is a complete defenseman. The coach in New York Rangers sees fit to bench him. I mean, it's a stop.
Yeah.
What stats are you basing that on? I don't have to look at stats to tell you who's the who's playing well in their zone. I think Stahl hasn't hit his stride yet. And to say that he's reliant on who he plays with is ludicrous to me. So what has Dan Girardi been carrying all this time?
I know. Yeah, he's not. I don't know. He sits at home. He makes up these crazy stats. I don't know the whole bit. Hold on a second. Let's. You ready to go back to the phones?
Sure.
All right. Let's see. Hold on. Chandler, are you holding to listen or are you holding to talk?
No, I'm talking. Like, how's it going, guys?
All right. How are you?
How are you, man?
I'm good. I'm just confused though. Did we not just clinch the fucking playoff spot with? Over 2 weeks left in the season.
We did.
Did we not just kick the shit out of the Devils last night?
We did.
That's right.
And so we're trading, you know, Stahl's a bum. We need to trade. We're talking about trading Dubinsky.
Hey.
Benching are you kidding me?
Frankie is very, very worried about the future of this franchise. You know, you're sitting here, you know, you Ranger fans, you're all worried about tonight. You're worried about going to the playoffs. Frankie has his eyes on the future, always. You're not thinking fourth dimensionally, Marty. He's looking to the future in his franchise. 10 years from now, Frankie's looking down the road. Who's going to play right defense in 8 years? These are the things Frankie thinks about that you don't think about.
I mean, I'm looking on Facebook and I got people talking about, oh, they need to probably bench for the takeover. Look, oh my last night was one of the best nights I've had
in such
a long time, you know, in years of watching the Rangers. I mean, that was one of the best fucking games I've seen in years, not just this season, in years, okay?
Definitely.
And even though it was on NBC and I had to listen to that moron, Doc Emmerich, and that asshole fucking McGuire, even them notwithstanding, that was one of the best games I've watched in ever.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it was such
It reminded me of the old rivalries, like, you know, the Rangers Islanders. That kind of
man.
they truly dislike each other. I mean, they're not faking it. It isn't just one guy or like Avery, they want to go get Avery. No. When Rupp said that to Clarkson, I was like, that was great. When he said that, I'm going to knock you out on national TV, that was great. I mean, that's what it's all about.
And
I was just going to say,
Zuccarello.
Go on with Zuccarello. I was just going to say that, you know, Frankie's worrying about this and that. And it's live in the present, baby. We're in first place in the conference. We just got done beating our heated rivalry. Enjoy it.
Oh, my God. And Zuccarello was a fucking beast last night. How did the smallest guy on the ice throw more hits than one of the biggest guys on the fucking ice last night? Did you see the hits Zuccarello was throwing last night? I don't give a shit if he's 2 foot tall. He's one of the fucking best players on the ice last night. He's in front of the net on the power play. He got deflected goals. You know, and you guys know I've never been a Tortorella fan. Fuck that. The guy knows what the fuck he's doing, obviously. And obviously I don't, because every fucking button he's pushing is working. They say, why didn't he bring Zuccarello up sooner? Well, he brought him up now. And look, and he brought him up when we needed him. And it's why Stroman not sitting, because guess what? They decided to bring up Erickson. How did Erickson look compared to the last time he was up? He looks a hell of a lot steadier. He looks like he actually knows what he's doing on ice now. It's instead of thinking about it. So apparently, the people who run the Rangers might have a fucking clue. Apparently, they might have a clue because, you know, we pushed the playoff spot. We're in first place. This team, I don't give a shit what happens. I'll be honest. I don't give a shit what happens the rest of the way. This is the best season for me and ever because no matter what happens, I know going forward, this team's only going to get better. These guys are only going to grow. They're only going to get better. That's what last night was for me. It was like, this is why I didn't want to trade anybody. This is why I just wanted to see these kids grow up and look at where the fuck we are now. Look where we are.
Right. I agree with you. I agree with you because for so many years we've had teams that don't care and that didn't give a shit if they lost or not. They really didn't care. I always talk about that hating to lose mentality. And this team hates to lose on any platform, whether it be in the goal scoring, the game, whether it be the physical part of the game. They're about as close of a group that we've seen, at least that I've seen, you know, other than maybe the 94 team, which was a lot of veterans. We've never seen a young team like this play as hard and have so much character.
Yeah.
I mean, they have a lot of character, this team. And that is representative of the coach. And when you said Tortorella, you were never – all of us at one time, I don't care who you are, have said Tortorella's an idiot. He changes the lines too much. He doesn't know. All of us. I mean, all of us said, oh, he said safe as death, and now all we got is death. That's all what I said. You know, with all the things we've been down. It's been a tumultuous ride with this guy, but the proof is in the pudding. He's got some players now, and you're seeing what he's doing when he's got players. And this is what he's got.
And I don't know if it was Jim earlier today on Facebook, somebody was talking about Erickson liking to shoot from the blue line for deflections. I don't know if that was Jim that put that up there. Somebody put that on Facebook.
It wasn't me.
It was somebody. And until they pointed it out, and I thought about the game last night, that's absolutely right. Every time he got the puck, he was shooting at the net, not just to get it on net, but looking for deflections. And Jim, listen, you got to stop posting that shit you're posting, dude. You got me running off the fucking road sometimes laughing. I couldn't stop laughing the other day thinking about what you posted with the thing about Jokin. I swear to God, I'm driving my girlfriend home and I'm busting out laughing. I'm a fucking wreck, man. She's looking like, what's wrong with you? And I'm trying to tell her what you said. And she's looking like, I don't get it.
Oh, about
you get
about the guy on the naked guy at the Hess station doing
God.
Donuts.
You know, I said, you got a picture of an old guy in Florida at a gas station talking about Rangers fucking hockey. So like, I don't get it. I'm like, oh, never mind. But, oh, my God.
So, all right, Schiller, we're going to get a couple other phone calls in. We're out of time already. All right, man, we'll talk. Do you want to stay on hold or are you listening on the
call? Yeah, leave me on hold. Thanks.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. You know what else I wanted to mention about last night? I don't know if you – Tortorella did a great job of balancing out everybody's ice time last night, Eddie. I think Girardi and Staal only had like 18, 19 minutes. Erickson had like 12 or 13 minutes. I think it was the most he's played. It wasn't one of those Girardi's on the ice 28 minutes nights, which was good. He did a good job of mixing the lines. And then, you know, when it got late in the third, or even as they got into the third period, he kind of, you know, shut it down and rolled the two lines of defensemen and stuck with the Boyle line. And they did what they had to do. They played their typical third period.
Yeah, I mean, he's gone from that guy, you know, who's just rolling three lines and playing – the defenseman to death to a guy who's now evening things up. Just when I think I have the guy figured out, I don't. I don't want to figure him out at this point because what he's doing is working, like Chandler alluded to. The only blemish that I could see, that, and it's minor, is why the hell John Scott was in there. I mean, that's just really the only thing that I've seen him well. He he's got the players. This was explained to me early on because, you know, as Ranger fans, we expect the coach to do a lot. We expectations of Tortorella winning a Stanley Cup coming in here. But it takes a while to get players. You have to have players. And, you know, when you come in and, you know, it's, you know, Eric Christensen and Enver Leeson and a lot of guys that just aren't his type of players. And, you know, thank God for Gordy Clark, as we say. He's brought in a lot of responsible two-way players. He's drafted a lot of players that have been, forward-wise, have been NHL-ready almost immediately. I mean, Hagelin and Stepan especially are very diligent, you know, on both ends of the ice. And so you got to have the players, and the Rangers have them, and he knows how to utilize them, and they are one. It's almost coming to a point where he doesn't have to go into the room and say anything. They know it.
Right.
And although Rupp hasn't scored since the Winter Classic, to me, he is such a – he's like having an assistant coach out on the ice. He's certainly a leader in the dressing room, and you need that.
Yeah. No, definitely, definitely. We're going to get back to the phones in just 1 second because we only got 20 minutes left. But I just want to know, there's a lot of people in the chat room, Eddie. You notice all the women that are here tonight?
Bella's here. Well, the women are out primarily because they may have seen the picture of me in my McDonough jersey, and that perhaps Brandon Dubinsky has scored.
Dubinsky!
And all the Doobie kittens
Dubinsky.
Are in attendance. And listen, Brandon's looked a little bit better lately. I still don't tell the folks at home, but and I'll upload the song. When he gets the puck, I sing, "We're on the road to nowhere." Because nothing's going to come of it.
You know, but it was funny. Tortorella had a hunch about putting that line together last night, and it paid off immediately. Dubinsky! You know, Dubinsky scored the early goal.
Listen.
And as soon as he did, I screamed out, "Dubinsky!" And then...
Listen, I am hoping and I am holding out that Brandon Dubinsky makes up for his lackluster regular season in the playoffs. And if he does that, it's all a wash.
Yep.
As soon as the playoffs start, everybody's got a clean slate. They got there. They finished. Hopefully they'll finish first overall. Now, the Flyers have lost their game. Is that true?
I do not know. I haven't checked the scores. What is the deal with the Flyers? I'm sorry.
What is the deal with Gogurt? Why is everybody in a rush for yogurt? I think the Flyers have lost. I thought I saw somebody post that. So apparently Scott Hartnell's goal of the century propelled them into a loss in their next game.
Yes, they lost to Florida 2-1. Toronto lost to the Islanders. Pittsburgh beat Winnipeg.
How bad are Cutter's Maple Leafs?
Oh,
I think that puts them under 500 now.
Atrocious.
Ugh.
And we both thought they were going to be a decent team this year. But I guess a lot of Leafs fans did, too.
They got off to a good start, and then Kessel stopped scoring. Joffrey Lupul is hurt. Goaltending is abominable. They got the monster. Yeah, he's a monster. The abominable snowman. And, you know, some teams are imploding with their goaltending.
Yeah.
So, yeah, look, we're talking about Boston. So, what else we got? We got another caller? We
got lots of calls. Let's go to
all right,
201-566. You're on Blue Shirt Underground. Who's this?
This is Lando.
Lando Hahn. Lando's not a system. He's a black guy. In fact, he's the only black guy in the whole galaxy. What's going on, Lando? How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
Good.
Doing good. Doing good.
I just wanted to point out against the Penguins that hit on Fedotenko, I think it was, that elbow. nothing from the league. Not even a word about it.
Yeah. I don't know. Fedoteko, I think we said this on the last show. I mean, he is just getting beat up. And you're right. There was no call. There was no nothing by the league on it. I don't know what they missed. Frankly, half the stuff I think they make up, and what they it's a lot of stuff goes, you know, unpunished, and that certainly was one of them.
And then I saw something on Twitter today. Apparently, there might be some rule changes because of the brawl against the Devils. Apparently, there's some rule. I didn't know about this. Like, the last 5 minutes of the game, if you start a fight, the game misconduct and a suspension, like a one-game suspension, so they might add that the first 5 minutes of the game. I think it's total bullshit.
That's another nonsense. You know, the first rule that you mentioned was put in so, you know, in a route that the, you know, the other team doesn't start any, you know, bench-clearing brawls or a line brawl. And now I guess they want to try to squash the or quell the stage fights at the beginning of the game. This team needs less rules, not more rules, as far as I'm concerned, because they can't even get the basic rules down. Why are we adding more rules? Even though this one is more blatant if guys fight. But I noticed a lot of people were sitting down during that 3-on-3 fight last night. I mean, it's a joke.
All right, Lando, listen, we got to run, buddy.
All right, thanks.
Thanks for calling.
Take care,
call the next show, okay?
All right.
Talk to you later. The great Lando Hahn. All right. I think this is Bella. Bella, is this you?
This is me.
Bella.
How are you, Bella?
Good. How are you?
Good. Welcome to the program. See, I had a feeling that was you on the switchboard.
Listen, I'm calling because I just want to get a little bit of Doobie Love. You guys beat up on me all the time.
we had the Doobie Love.
You got to give him a little bit of love. He was good last night.
Dubinsky.
Wow. Let me tell you, I was jumping up. I was jumping up and down when he scored. I mean, you listen, I thought he played well. I like when he takes charge. And I'm hoping for a good playoff from the guy. I, you know, and you know, it's funny because you're not the only Ranger fan who is stuck with him this year. When he scored that goal, there were plenty of doos to be heard in Madison Square Garden last night.
I've followed him since the Winter Hawks. Like, there's a reason why. You know what I mean? That was a thing with me and my dad. So, like, it's huge for me. But, I mean, obviously I see it differently. I think he brings more to the team than other people do. But I have to tell you, like, over the last couple of games, I was so frustrated. Because I know he can do better. You know what I mean? It sucks that he wasn't. But the last two games, oh, so happy. I hope he explodes in the playoff, and then everybody can shut up.
Listen, I want I vow to you that if he does explode in the playoffs, that I will make a Doobie Love song.
You will for me, you promise?
Yes, I promise.
Well, the only other thing I want to say is this. Like, I respect everybody's opinion. You know what I mean? I know we all come from, like, you know, different backgrounds. And, you know, some people have been fans for 40 years. Obviously, I haven't. But I almost feel like sometimes, like, listen, we're sitting in first place. And there's just people that as soon as the game's over, they're ready to pounce on them and say what they didn't do right. I mean, I just don't know why we can't be happy that we're actually playing well, and we're probably going to be playing well for the next couple of years.
That's the Doobie Love song.
Oh, see?
No, you're exactly right.
You're absolutely right.
No, but you are exactly right. I don't know what it is. You know, you sound like you know the game and you know the Rangers. You need to just enjoy it while it's happening.
Yeah.
And, you know, these seasons don't come along ever for the Rangers. And maybe this is the beginning of something, you know, something that's going to be consistent over the years because they're so young. So you got to enjoy it, not flip out every time they lose. I mean, come on.
I hope so. I think a lot of the older crowd of fans are like that. I see it at the games. Like, they're so frustrated, and I'm just like, this is supposed to be fun. Like, yeah, I'm pissed off too, you know, when they don't play their best. But I don't know. I think it's been a good season. You know, I'm pretty happy.
It's been all right.
All right. He's not going to be happy until, you know, the seventh game of the cup and we have it, you know?
Anything less than the Stanley Cup and I'm putting on my Nike and waiting for the Hale Bopp comment, and that's just going to be it. So, you know.
All right. Well, I'll let you guys go.
Bella,
I just wanted
well,
to call and. All right. Have a good night.
All right. You
take
too.
Take care,
bye.
Bella.
Okay. Thanks. Bye.
Doobie love and all of that. Nothing but love. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love.
Peace and love. Peace and love. Like Ringo Starr says. 724-515. You're on Blue Shirt Underground. Who's this?
It's Mike in Pittsburgh.
Mike in Pittsburgh. How are you?
Good. Just like to know if you guys are hearing those footsteps behind you.
Yeah, it's true, though. I mean, I'm very concerned about Pittsburgh. I assume you're a Penguin fan. What do you think has been the key to their emergence? I mean, they were 10 points back of the Rangers at one point. Now they're three.
You guys, you know, it's one of those things. Everything's coming together. I haven't seen a team play this good in the last 5 years. Crosby comes back, just adds to it. What's the Rangers feeling? Because I'm down here in Pittsburgh. How do the fans feel about the Penguins? Are they nervous? They just kind of blow them off? What's the feeling there in New York about the Penguins?
We hate them.
Well,
Other than that, we hate them.
No, I'll answer the question seriously.
You answer the question. What do you want me to say? What do you want me to sit here and
asked the question whether we are hearing footsteps or are we just blowing them off like they have no chance, we're going to win it. That's his question.
Can't be afraid of them. If you're afraid of them, you lose the battle. Respect them. There, that's how I feel about the Penguins. I respect how well they're playing.
Your guys' prediction if they play in the playoffs, who wins?
Rangers, 4 games. What do you think I'm going to say? What am I going to say?
I'm trying to catch you there.
Millions of people listening around the world. I'm going to tell you that. Come on.
Right, come on. Listen, Kim, I feel like you're being unfair to this. This may be the first opposing team, you know, non-Ranger call we get. And I feel like we should answer this diplomatic and intelligent fashion. And you're going, we're going to sweep. we hate you.
You guys, okay. I got thick skin. I can take it.
No, I okay. said we hate the Penguins. I have nothing against Mike. Mike seems like a very nice man. Very smart. As far as the Penguins go, what do you want me to say?
Well, I want you to, you know, we're trying to be a credible show here for a change.
Since when?
And I feel like I want to answer in a very professional way.
Okay.
I think, and let me answer the question. I think a lot of Ranger fans in the know were saying, watch out for the Penguins, I'd say about a month ago. This was after the watch out for the Bruins thing ended. You know, a lot of Ranger fans were talking about the Bruins and their goal differential, and then, you know, they've shit the bed with their goaltending and whatever. And now people started to say, when Pittsburgh gets Crosby back, and they get healthy, then watch them. And that's come to fruition. If they meet in the playoffs, I don't know. With a healthy Crosby and Malkin and James Neal, it's a tough sell. But I think we have the edge in goaltending. you guys have the experience. But I would still have to go with the Rangers. I mean, I don't know. Crosby is so fragile, at least in my opinion. If they can get him and if they can hit him, I think he's not. I just That's the way I look at it. So I wouldn't say 4-0 like my esteemed colleague did, but that's the way I look at it.
Actually, Mike, let me ask you a question, since you're a Penguins fan.
Sure.
And you live in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Do you have season tickets?
I wish. I wish I did, no.
Okay, so you have to watch them on Root Sports.
Yes.
How do you sit through that? How do you sit through those broadcasts? Doesn't that come on, that guy's got to drive you crazy. I don't even know.
You mean Mike Lang? Are you talking about Mike Lang?
Oh, the guy, who's the other guy? The guy that does the play-by-play. On Root Sports, the Penguins games. What's the guy that does the, I can't think of his name.
Jeanette.
What the hell is.
No, that's Buffalo. You're thinking of Rick Jenner. Rick Jenner. I can't think of the guy's name. He does it. Bob Errey is Steigerwald. Steigerwald? Is that
Paul
the name?
Steigerwald. Paul Steigerwald?
Yeah.
And
how
Bob
do you put
Errey.
Up with that? Guys.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I don't know what to tell you guys on that. You know, all the Lang one-liners, you know, that gets old. He's just trying to hear himself talk, you know, in my opinion. He likes hearing himself talk, but.
Gotcha. Paul Steigerwald, whatever. All right. Well, listen, Mike, our show's almost done. We do appreciate you calling. And, you know, I couldn't help but notice that a Penguin fan calling into the show when the Penguins are 3 points behind the Rangers and they just beat the Rangers. Just make sure that when the Rangers beat them in the playoffs that you remember our phone number. Okay, buddy?
Yeah, and you guys answer my phone if we beat you guys. Don't try to avoid us, too, okay?
We don't avoid. Hey, we're here every week.
All right.
We'll take
All right.
We'll take it like men.
Take care, Mike.
Guys, have a good evening.
You too.
Take
Bye.
Care.
Get out of here.
See, I can't believe that you
being all Henry Kissinger. This is a war we're in, for Christ's sake. We're at war with them. And you're sitting here serving tea and what do they call those things? Those social tea, Nabisco cookies.
Tea and crumpets.
Yeah.
Gentlemen,
they're playing Mozart. I got Black Sabbath. I'm at war.
Remember those clicks on the ads? We need repeat callers. I'll do anything. I sold my soul. No. I'm not going to blast the guy. He sounded like he was, you know, he came, he stepped to us correctly, and that's fine. If he came in and said Rangers suck and this and that, I would have went ballistic on him. I would have given him.
You hear the footsteps? You hear the footsteps? Yeah, I hear the big, hairy footsteps of the people of Pittsburgh, and those are the chicks.
You hear the footsteps, or you're blowing them off. That's what he said.
Get out of here.
All right, tough guy.
We're at war.
Now you're taking my road.
I wish you
We're
had
at war. I don't have time for this.
I wish all you
right,
had
next time I call.
That clip you have. I don't even remember what it is, but you used to play it all the time on Rage of Crisis. That's a war.
Oh, yeah.
Yelling at the troops. Ah! Anyway.
You're
I should have put Chandler on with him. I should have put Chandler back on the phone with him. He wouldn't have been so diplomatic.
Listen, sometimes, you know, I'm more mature. I've matured over the week.
Oh. Oh.
I was just glad. I'm glad to just get in the... Oh, no, stop.
You and your Penguin buddy.
See, now it's going to be over-exaggerated and it's totally overblown. I was just interested in his take and answer his question. I like when people ask me questions. What can I tell you? I'm not going to say... For nothing. We hate you. I mean, come on.
I said we hate them.
Yeah.
They're calling you a sympathizer in the chat room.
Maybe you're right. Maybe I handled it all wrong. In retrospect. I should have been like, you suck, Crosby's a whining bitch.
Exactly.
Get off the phone, bitch.
Why does he always have duck face? Anyway, all right. We got less than a minute to go. We're going to take one more phone call that's been on hold, and we'll take this into podcast. Don't forget, you can download us off iTunes. You can download us right off the show page. We'll see. You want to come back Thursday night and just do an hour?
Sure, but I don't know. They're turning on me here. Any Clock fans?
That's all right. We'll be back Thursday night. We'll get the Penguins fans to call in. Maybe we'll talk to Bob Errey. All right. So all right. Let's bring this last call out, and we'll see you guys Thursday night at 9 o'clock for an hour. Let's see. 631-678. You're on Blue Shirt Underground. Who's it?
It's Margaret.
Hey, Margaret.
Real quick, like the McLaughlin Group. In answer to that man's question, here's the story for the Pittsburgh fan. All right, there's 10 games left. The Rangers are going to win 6 out of those 10 games, and unfortunately, the Penguins are only going to win 5, and I'll tell you why. The schedule for Pittsburgh is much harder. They're playing much harder teams. They have the Predators. That is a toss-up. I think that the Predators will win. The Senators. Senators, another toss-up. I think the Senators might win. The Devils are really going to be clawing and scratching. They will win. 2 games against the Islanders, both go to the Penguins. The Sabres goes to the Penguins, and then they close out the season with the Flyers, the Bruins, the Rangers, and the Flyers. How many of those are they going to win? I say for the last 10 games of the season, they go 5-5. The Rangers go 6-4. That's all she wrote.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Sounds good, Margaret.
Yeah, Margaret,
you take
I like
it easy,
that.
Guys.
Take
all right.
care.
Bye-bye. Talk
bye.
To you next time. Bye.
Bye-bye.
You know I'm just busting your balls with that Penguin guy, right?
Oh, I've taken it very seriously. My lawyers will be calling your lawyers.
That's it. We're broken up.
Bye-bye.
That's it. The civil union is over.
Listen, I can take it. I can take it from this chat room. You bunch of wisecrackers. And the people on the podcast, trust me, I'm just holding back. I tried to play Henry Kissinger, you're right.
It's funny,
but,
though. Because I think most people would have expected the exact opposite. Because you're jumping all over Frankie's case.
Well, because you just keep saying the same thing over and over again.
Andrew Yogan.
Ansemoff is playing out of position. That's why he's got a head. He got a shoulder injury. Get out of here.
Bye bye.
So I want to thank everybody for joining us tonight. Is the show over?
Yeah, we're off. Yeah, this is podcast, but that's okay. We have to get them listening. We have to give them reasons to listen to the podcast.
That's right. That's why I was keeping that guy. I'm like, hey, more clicks, more podcasts. He's going to tell his friends that he went on the show, and the one host said that we hate you.
What do you think about the Penguins? I fucking hate them. What do you think I think?
Oh, God.
Like I said, where was he 3 weeks ago? 4 weeks ago?
Well, like you said, he made a gentleman's agreement. If they stink the joint up, he'll come back on, and then if we stink it up, we'll admit. I doubt that'll happen.
We'll just run out of time. I'm sorry, we're running out of time.
Yeah, I'll be so bitter, I'll blast him like, you know, scorched earth policy style. So, all right, Jimmy, my boy.
All righty, sir.
I'll catch you on the flips.
See you Thursday. All right,
take care.
So, bye.